Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, join us for an Event 201 update to see how the amazingly accurate their global pandemic predictions have been. One of the many investments of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, besides vaccines and in addition to funding news outlets, was the creation of something called Event 201, a global pandemic exercise where dozens of the world's most prominent doctors, scientists, researchers, and military wargamed what a global pandemic outbreak would look like. And wouldn't you just know that a few weeks later, a global pandemic outbreak happened? My, what an amazing coincidence. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we first broke the story of Event 201 much back in the early days of 2020. And so much has happened that here on day 651 of 15 days to flatten the curve, we thought that an Event 201 update might be edifying, especially when you understand that Event 201 was not only financed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but also by far-left political agenda groups like the Open Philanthropy Action Fund, the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and the World Economic Forum. Fun fact, the World Economic Forum is also the same people who created the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Waking up yet? Event 201 said, "Accomplishing these goals will require collaboration among governments, international organizations, and global business." That, my friend, is what you call a one-world system. Today in the podcast, we revisit Event 201 to show you just how successful that it has been for its founders and what you can likely expect to see taking place next. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for waking us up today. We thank you, Lord, for food on the table, for clothes on our back, and for a roof over our head, whatever that roof may be. We pray for lost souls today, Lord. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, Jeanette's granddaughters, Cheyenne, Bridget, and Tony with nephew Matthew, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Jordan. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. We pray for Jesse for salvation and for his parents as well. For Rachel's dad, Ralph, for members of the Bolton family. For Colby Bohan, for Dina Long's son, Jordan, for David Peck, Susan Weir's Bicky, salvation for daughters Marie and Valerie, and son and husband, both named Greg. Kentucky Jeffrey, salvation for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin, asking prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle for salvation. Connie, three unsaved children. Joshua Gaskins and wife April, salvation prayers for friends Stephanie and Michael. Tulip, who lives in Turkey and she's a middle-aged Roma gypsy, salvation for her and her family. Brandy, asking for prayers for her family's salvation. Rita in Colorado, asking prayers for Dan's salvation. Ron, Spray of Sunshine, has three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian, that need to be saved. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick, Rick Dotson, Ron, Pete, his daughter Allie, David Lacker. They all need salvation. Barbara's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Shondell. Nicole is praying for her best friend and her family. Cheyenne is praying for Barry, Terry, Alan, Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for Jason and Tiffany and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. And Barbara is praying for salvation for son Jody. Jerry Ann Nicholson is still on a ventilator, and we are asking prayers for her recovery. She's been battling for a number of weeks now. The Lord already took her husband home, and it could go either way with Jerry Ann. And we pray that God would step in and do something. We pray for Jennifer Thompson and her fiancé. Samantha, her friend Marcia that we had been praying for. Marcia has passed away, and sadly she was not saved. Danny Arenas is praying for his dad who's hospitalized with COVID. John Henry with COVID. Patrick, his entire family has COVID. Kisabel and her husband Robert battling COVID. Eddie, daughter Natalie, is sick with COVID and not doing well. And Kelly is praying for son Nico, also battling COVID. In South Africa, we have Sammy battling cancer. She needs to be saved as well as healed. So pray for Sammy for salvation and for a healing. Harmon's son Michael, pancreatic cancer. Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, Kara Marsh. They're all battling cancer on some level. Clayton Perry. He had stem cell replacement surgery last week, and he's having a pretty rough time. And he's coming home from the hospital tomorrow, but with a very compromised immune system. So please pray for Clayton Perry and his wife, Kathy Perry, who is recovering from shoulder replacement surgery. Dana's husband needs prayer. Anna Gutierrez needs prayer for conceiving a baby. Suzanne Smith, back pain. Jeanette is still recuperating. Please keep her in your prayers. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to donate to her GoFundMe, then please do so. And she's very grateful for all the support. And she says, thank you very much. She couldn't do it without her NTEB family. And she says, thank you. Unspoken prayers. Chelsea, Lori Ann, Janet. Trixie Belden is asking for prayers for her family. Rachel is struggling with mental illness. And she needs a touch from the Lord. Please remember our overseas pastors, John Ree Danny and Arnell in the Philippines, and Pastor Fojon in Vietnam, Luann in Turkey. She's not a pastor, but she's a lay minister. Dwight Moody was the lay minister. Luann is a minister in Turkey from Sarasota, and she is ministering to the Muslims. Please remember our NTEB street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Joshua in Virginia. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott, and Jeffrey Sapasinik. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson, and Arthur in South Africa, and we have Marie in Philadelphia. Please keep our street preachers in your prayers. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, God. We thank you that we're praying people. We thank you, God, that here on a podcast, that we would open this time in prayer to you, as we do on every program. And Lord, I don't take that for granted. Some places you couldn't do that. But we can do that here at Now the End Begins, and I'm so glad and so grateful for that. Shannon says, Lord, please touch all these with your healing hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, please, Lord, the people battling COVID, the people battling cancer, the people battling mental illness, the people who need reconciliation and restoration, the people who need salvation. Help them all, Father God, for your glory and for our good. And we commit this time to you, God, and ask you to lead and guide in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Monday, everybody. We are in the drop zone before the start of the new year, and I'm looking forward to 2022 from a prophetical perspective. ''2022 is going to be a roller coaster ride. 2022 is going to be a little bit crazy. And I thought, what better way to prepare ourselves for 2022 than to take a quick review of where it all started from? And if you want to trace this thing back, there's a number of places that we could go. But perhaps there is no better place that we could go to than something called Event 201. And Event 201, as you know, if you're a regular reader of Now the End Begins, we were one of the very first people to tell you about Event 201, one of the very first news outlets to connect Event 201 with the COVID outbreak. And we told you and we showed you that Event 201 was a really creepy, strange, high-level gathering of some of the world's most powerful people, and everything was put together in such a way that it really makes you do a double take, a triple take. Event 201 was a really crazy type of thing. If you attended that event in real life, if you were fortunate enough to be invited to the Johns Hopkins Center, and you had a ticket to attend Event 201, well, when you walked through the door, they gave you a COVID-19 plushie toy with a big smile on its face and big, beautiful green eyes, and the whole thing just lit up like the sun. Why would somebody do that? This is supposed to be the most deadly virus in human history. And yet the people who were walking through the door to attend Event 201 were handed a deadly virus plushie toy. I don't know. I mean, it's 2 years later, or 2.5 years later, and I still can't even wrap my head around that. What do you do with this COVID-19 stuffed animal? Do you sleep with it at night? Do you hug it in the morning? Do you give it to your kids to play with? What type of sick, demented Nazi scientist would take what's supposed to be the world's most deadly virus, so deadly that the whole world was locked down twice? And yet, amazingly, paradoxically, ironically, they made a plushie toy out of it. One of the reasons why the New World Order does this is because they, believe it or not, they have a sense of humor. Nazis had a sense of humor. Joseph Goebbels had a sense of humor. Adolf Hitler had a sense of humor. I don't know if you could say the same about Stalin, but I think you get the point that I'm trying to make. One of the reasons why they made a cute and cuddly coronavirus plushie toy is because they have a sense of humor. They knew what was getting ready to happen. They knew what was right around the corner. And so, in the way that they like to do it, one of the things that you were given if you attended this event was a COVID-19 deadly virus stuffed animal for you to take home and give to your kids and play with. Now, a little bit of background information. Event 201 was sponsored by three groups of people. It was sponsored by the Johns Hopkins Center. It was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it was sponsored by the World Economic Forum. So these were the three main groups that were behind this and were backing this thing up. Now, if you remember the World Economic Forum, and we've talked about these people many, many times. The World Economic Forum was pushing something and is pushing something called the Great Reset. A man by the name of Klaus Schwab, who sounds like every Nazi in every movie you've ever seen about World War II when he speaks. I am not besmirching his ethnic origin. I am just simply saying, as a former Hollywood actor, when I hear his voice, it reminds me, if you were to call Central Casting and say, I need a Nazi for this movie, whoever they would send you to play the part would sound a lot like Klaus Schwab. So let's just take a refresher on what the Great Reset is all about. Because the people who created the Great Reset and promote the Great Reset were one of the sponsors of Event 201. So take a listen to this.
Inside our own heads is the most complex arrangement of matter.
This is the Great Reset from the World Economic Forum.
You might ask yourself, can we get to be superhumans?
This is their own marketing.
The original Industrial Revolution was driven by the discovery that you could use steam engines to do all kinds of interesting things.
But that was followed by additional revolutions for electricity and computers and communications technology. We're now in the early stages of the fourth Industrial Revolution, which is bringing together digital, physical, and biological systems.
One of the features of this fourth Industrial Revolution
there he is Klaus Schwab.
What we are doing, but it changes us.
You will show me your papers.
You just heard Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman for the World Economic Forum, say that the fourth Industrial Revolution is going to change us, change humanity.
With the ability to visualize brain activity, for example, through a simple consumer-based EEG device, it gives us access to ourselves in ways that we've never before thought possible. It unlocks the black box that is the brain and enables us to really, truly be able to realize an identity that is aspirational.
There's now a scientific foundation for the effects of mindfulness on the brain, on the genome, on biological aging. And when the human mind does know itself, then you get the potential for a new renaissance that restructures itself in terms of our relationship to life, our relationship to the planet, our relationship to work.
We need a different economic model. And by that, I don't mean capitalism versus communism. What I'm talking about is a shift in the system along the lines of the two big changes that happened in the 20th century, Keynesianism, with a much greater focus on health and education and the role of government working with business, and then a reaction against that in late century to neoliberalism, where the focus was on free markets, freedom of the individual, and getting governments out of the way. We need a shift to a new system that will allow us to meet the basic needs of every human on the planet.
So there you have the people from the World Economic Forum, and they're talking about the need for a shift in the system. So when they were one of the sponsors of Event 201, which turned out to be the most amazing coincidence perhaps in human history, that you would assemble 65 different people from science, research, medicine, military, world governments, and economics. You would assemble these groups of people together, and then you would imagine what it would be like if there was a global pandemic, a viral global pandemic that was suddenly sweeping the world that affected every human being. Now, this took place on October 19th of 2019, within about 8 weeks from the conclusion of Event 201, the first COVID case appeared in China. And about 8 weeks after the outbreak at the Wuhan lab in China, the first COVID case appeared here in America. Now, do you guys remember where that very first COVID case was? Do you remember whose neighborhood that first COVID case was recorded in? Well, if you guessed that the very first COVID case in America was recorded less than 10 miles from Bill Gates' home at the time, you would be correct. And we brought you that story on April 6th of 2020. We showed you how amazing it was that the very first COVID case in America would be virtually happening on Bill Gates' front door. It happened at the Evergreen Health Hospital in Kirkland, Washington. And this was at the center of the coronavirus outbreak in the United States, with the largest cluster of COVID-19 patients in the country at the time. Evergreen Health is 10 miles from Bill Gates' home in Medina, Washington. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, and we don't want to besmirch Bill Gates in any way. But you do remember that Bill Gates said that, he said this.
I understand it, and from what you're saying is that it may be that there needs to be some compromise in some of the safety measures that would normally be expected to create a vaccine because time is so crucial.
Well, of course, if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years. So whenever you're acting quickly, like during the HIV crisis, they created a quick way of getting drug approval. There is a trade-off there. In that case, it worked super, super well. And here, you know, we will, I think, be able to get some safety indications, but this is a public good. And so, you know, those trade-offs, the governments working on a cooperative basis will be involved in the decision to say, hey, the regulator says go ahead, even though you haven't taken the normal time period.
So there was Bill Gates in 2020 telling you how important that it was to rush this thing through. He said, if you want to wait 2 years to see if there's a side effect, well, you didn't have to wait 2 years. As of December 17th of 2021, the CDC's own VAERS website has reported 20,622 deaths of people who received the COVID vaccine, 108,572 hospitalizations, 107,860 urgent care visits, 153,971 doctor's visits, 8,590 cases of anaphylaxis, 12,317 cases of Bell's palsy, 10,429 heart attacks, 20,560 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, 34,615 people have been permanently disabled, 35,997 have had a severe allergic reaction, 23,405 cases of life-threatening situations, and just for fun, 4,907 cases of thrombocytopenia, low blood platelets, giving you a total of 983,756 cases of either death or adverse reactions from the people who have received the COVID-19 coronavirus. Patrick is asking for prayers for his wife. She is still in the hospital on a ventilator. Lord, we do ask, we lift up Patrick's wife to you, and we ask you to work and move, Father God, and and get her off that ventilator, get her out of that hospital, and touch her, Lord, as only you can, for your glory and for her good. And give Patrick, Lord, courage and strength to go through this with her and heal her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Patrick, for posting that. I just noticed it. So getting back to Event 201 and Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, it just never ends. It just never ends. Take a listen to Klaus Schwab from last year. Take a listen to this.
With us in a studio, we have Professor Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, who can give us the context to this year's very special and very different meeting. Klaus.
Good morning and good afternoon. 2021 will be a crucial, it will be a pivotal year for the future of humankind. It will be crucial because we have to continue to fight the virus, but we have to move out of the pandemic, and we have to create sound economic growth, which is more resilient, more inclusive, and more sustainable. But what we have to do above all is to restore trust in our world. Trust is needed in order to overcome the crisis, but trust is needed as a base to have a future-oriented mind and to construct the world for tomorrow. There are two requirements for restoring trust. First, we have to substantially reinforce global cooperation again. And second, we have to engage all stakeholders into the solution of the problems we face.
We have to engage all stakeholders into the solution from the problems we face. Sounds like the final solution to me.
And here we have to engage particularly business. For this reason, I'm so happy to say that like in the previous year, the global leadership from all walks of life is coming together in the forthcoming Davos Agenda Week. What we do is we launch a process to build the future. The first step is the Davos Agenda Week, starting next Monday. And the purpose of this week is to take stock, to look at the state of the world, to exchange visions and ideas, and to show directions. But then, late May, we will have the first in-person global summit taking place in Singapore. But we also have all our task forces, multiple task forces, which have met over 300 times in the last months, and also we organized two preparatory summits for this Davos Agenda Week. We have defined five policy areas, and of course they are all interconnected. First, driving responsible industry transformation.
All right, we'll just stop Herr Schwab there for the moment. I just wanted you to get a taste of what he had said last year at the Davos Summit. And Klaus Schwab is the leader of the World Economic Forum, and the World Economic Forum was one of the three main sponsors of Event 201. So I want you to see what is behind the people that created Event 201. Now, when you go to the Event 201 website, you see that a group called the Open Philanthropy Action Fund, kind of sounds like the Human Fund from Seinfeld, but a group called the Open Philanthropy Action Fund, that is the political arm of the Open Philanthropy Project, which is a grant-making foundation that gives to numerous left-wing organizations concerned with criminal justice policy. Why would they be sponsoring and helping to finance Event 201? Kind of doesn't make any sense until you get down to the bottom of the page and you see the names of the groups that they give money to, like MoveOn.org. And George Soros is the one who created MoveOn.org. So you can see very clearly that some of the funding for Event 201 came from groups that are definitely and intimately linked to George Soros and his scheming and plotting and planning and all the nasty things that he does with his billions of dollars. So, Event 201, it was hosted by the Johns Hopkins Medical Center. It was hosted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it was hosted by the World Economic Forum, the same people that are pushing the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So I think that you can kind of get a good high-level overview at this point of what the real motivation was behind Event 201. It's about bringing in the New World Order. And that's exactly what we have seen for the past 651 days. 651 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. Just a side note, on January 11th, that's a sat note, hold on, let me get my calendar here. January 11th is going to be a Tuesday, so the Monday podcast for January 10th, we are going to be celebrating day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And just like our two-hour celebration of the truth behind 9/11, this one is going to, we are going to pull out all the stops. So please mark your calendars for January 10th as we celebrate and expose day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And, it's funny on one hand, and it's a little bit scary on the other hand. Guest B says the evidence of this New World Order is overwhelming at this point. Absolutely, B. You are 100% correct. Evidence of the New World Order is absolutely overwhelming. Now, I have an audio clip that I want to play for you from session 4 of Event 201. But before I get there, I just want to continue laying the groundwork because so much has gone on these past 651 days that if you don't do a review from time to time, if you don't stop and do a review and say, okay, let's remind ourselves about all the steps that got us to this point. And that's what we're doing today, is we're reminding ourselves of all the steps that that it took to get here. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." So today we're doing a review, not so much of how we got here, we're doing a review of the forces behind Event 201. And Angelique is saying that she hasn't heard anything about CERN in a while. We are going to have a big CERN update on January 10th, as part of our day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. So mark your calendars. That's going to be a big, big show as well. another one of the things that got us to where we are is something called Build Back Better. Another one of the things that got us to this point that was behind all of this stuff that's been going on is something called Build Back Better. Now, you might say to me, Build Back Better, isn't that Joe Biden's campaign slogan? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Joe Biden's campaign slogan was not Build Back Better. Joe Biden's campaign slogan when he started running for president was not Build Back Better. It was never Build Back Better. When Joe Biden was first pretending to run for president, his campaign slogan, believe it or not, was no malarkey. Sounds funny to even say it. But that's what Joe Biden's campaign slogan was when he first started to pretend to run for president. And he went on something called the No Malarkey Tour. Now, you've probably forgotten about that, but it's important that I remind you about that, because somewhere along the way, Joe Biden's entire campaign slogan changed, and he adopted something that was first created by the United Nations, and that is called Build Back Better. It was used by every prime minister, every head of state across Europe. It was used in Canada. It was used in the United Nations, who created it. Build Back Better was never the campaign slogan of Joe Biden. Build Back Better was part of the New World Order mandate to change everything. Just like you heard Klaus Schwab say, just like you heard from that clip from the Great Reset, they were calling for a global change in the system. They were calling for a paradigm shift. And they called that paradigm shift Build Back Better. They called it the Great Reset. They called it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Joe Biden, after he became president, adopted Build Back Better, which is what the plan was the entire time. Now, what does Joe Biden have to do with Event 201? Plenty. Event 201, part of the planning for that, is that you had to have a New World Order candidate sitting at the Oval Office in the White House. It would not work any other way. Now, I want to play this clip for you, and there's a reason why I'm going to play this clip, and it's not the reason that you might think. So I want you to listen to this very brief clip. It's only 57 seconds long, but I want you to listen to this clip, and then I'm going to tell you the real meaning behind this clip that nobody is talking about. Take a listen to Joe Biden agreeing with Let's Go Brandon and then repeating it without even knowing that he's doing it.
My daughter. Yeah. Can't bring your granddaughter.
Well, okay. And how about Penelope?
Well, Penelope, she's only two, so I think she'd be happy with just that.
Oh, that's great.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful that you have a two-year-old. Well, have a Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful Christmas.
And by the way, you guys have to be in bed by 9 o'clock, you know, and asleep between 9 and 12, or he doesn't show up.
This isn't to you, Jared. This is to the kids.
That's right.
All right, pay attention.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Well,
yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry
Christmas, and let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Hey, by the way, where are you in Oregon? Where's your home? I think we lost him.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So the reason why I played that clip is not to make fun of Joe Biden. I try very hard to not use the phrase, let's go Brandon, because when you think about what you're saying, well, perhaps that shouldn't be coming out of the mouth of a Christian. I'm not judging, I'm just simply saying I try not to use that expression, because when I do, God convicts me of it. But the reason why I played that clip for you is that everybody knows what Let's Go Brandon means. It means F Joe Biden is what it means. And it's very insulting. It's very derogatory. And it was an expression that was created by people who are opposed to the pretend presidency of Joe Biden. And I understand it. They said that about Donald Trump the entire 4 years that Trump was president. So I understand the emotion and I understand the sentiment. But in that clip that I played for you, Joe Biden had no idea what that meant. That did not register in his mind for a single second. If Joe Biden still possessed the ability for critical thinking, he would have instantly responded to that statement. He would have instantly used that as a teachable moment. And he would have done something very, 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 very different than what he did. And the reason why Joe Biden said, yeah, let's go, Brandon. I agree. The reason why Joe Biden said that he agreed with that is because he had no idea what he was saying. This is why they keep him on a very tight leash. And they thought, even in his diminished mental capacity, he can't screw up taking phone calls from people who are following the NORAD Santa tracker on Christmas Eve. The people who allowed him to do that never imagined in a million years that Joe Biden, even in his current mental state, could screw that up. And yet, the entire thing imploded in their face. Joe Biden said, let's go Brandon, I agree, because Joe Biden has lost his mind. No rational person would ever, ever. Can you imagine if somebody said that about Ron DeSantis to his face? Can you imagine any politician, Ted Cruz, even the Democrats, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi? Can you imagine if any other politician was told that to their face, and they said, yeah, let's go, Brandon. I agree. Hey, are you from Oregon? Oh, my. That's somebody who is not there at all mentally. So I wanted you to hear that clip. And again, not to mock Joe Biden, not to make fun of him, but to show you that he is there as the puppet of the New World Order, and he is there to promote Build Back Better. And all of this is traced back to Event 201 that took place in the closing days of 2019. All of these things are connected. Not just some of them, but all of them. So, with that, I want to play a clip for you now. Event 201 was divided into 5 sessions. And what I'm going to play for you now is just some of the highlights from something called Event 201 Session 4. And the theme of Session 4 was combating misinformation. So, when you listen to this clip, I want you to remember that this is part of Event 201 that was sponsored by the Johns Hopkins Center, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. All these people, Build Back Better, the United Nations. I want you to remember all that while you listen to this clip, highlights, Session 4, Event 201. Take a listen.
Pharmaceutical companies are being accused of introducing the CAPS virus so they can make money on drugs and vaccines, and have seen public faith in their products plummet. Unrest due to false rumors and divisive messaging is rising and is exacerbating spread of the disease as levels of trust fall and people stop cooperating with response efforts. Health ministries around the world are attempting to combat myths and disinformation by amplifying public health messaging through social and traditional media. But they are being outpaced by false and misleading information.
Thank you, Dr. Sell.
So the first thing that I want to point out about what they were discussing in Event 201 is they were talking about misinformation and disinformation, something that at the time was relatively low-key. Donald Trump had not yet been banned on Twitter or Facebook. The social media platforms at this point, 2019, had not started their crusade of censorship and stifling free speech and free thought. They had not started to punish people who attempted to tell the truth about things going on. So here at Session 4 of Event 201, they're talking about what needs to be done to manage this imaginary global pandemic that they called CAPS. And Session 4 was completely devoted to misinformation and disinformation on social media. Let's take a listen at what their ideas for combating this might be.
So here's the policy crisis for this meeting of the board. How can governments, international businesses, international organizations ensure that reliable information is getting to the public?
But I also think we're at a moment where...
So they're asking the question, and this is October of 2019, before the Great Purge started. How can we make sure that people are getting reliable information? Well, here's step one.
The social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over.
So, step one, that man, and I don't have his name, but that man said that the first thing that has to happen is that all social media platforms need to stop pretending that they are a technology-only organization and that they are a news publisher. That's exactly what that guy just said. Now, if you remember that this is being recorded in October of 2019, and if you just play back in your own mind some of the highlights of things that have happened, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and go into our fake news section, and you'll see very, very clearly how you get about halfway through 2020, and now the censoring has begun. And now the social media people are asserting their dominance. And they are now not a technology company. Now they are a news publishing company. And they are stopping anyone who does not agree with their narrative from publishing. I told you last week that Now the End Begins, with hundreds of thousands of people on our Facebook page. We've had that Facebook page since 2010. And because we tell the truth about the virus and about the vaccine, and that is not something that you're going to get from many Christian organizations. You're not going to get that from the Christian Post. You're not going to get that from Christianity Today. And it kind of makes me mad how so many Christian ministries, so-called, refuse to go on social media and tell the truth about what's happening because they're afraid of losing their channel. So what do? They keep their mouths shut. I think that's very cowardly. So after 11 years of having a Facebook page, Facebook pulled the plug on Now the End Begins. And that's just fine with me. When you go to the front lines, that's where the bullets are. All right, so let's keep listening to Session 4 from Event 201. And this man had just said that the social media platforms need to become news publishers and need to start filtering information.
But we also need to actually think about a technological answer to this. So there is work that's being done to actually create algorithms to sift through information on these kind of social media platforms. And I know that the Gates Foundation and others are funding organizations to work on things like this.
With that ability, we can identify false information more quickly. We are actually receiving reports about people trying treatments that are purported to be effective but are actually harmful. And
there it is. Did you hear what that guy just said? Remember, everything that took place at Event 201, it was kind of like an ongoing stage play where they were imagining what would take place and then responding to the situations that they created. And now you heard that man say, as part of the pandemic exercise, that people have started to write articles and stories about alternative treatments that actually were very harmful. Does that sound like anything that you may have heard before? Does that sound like Joe Rogan being blasted for taking ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies and vitamin D3 and magnesium and zinc? Isn't it interesting how Session 4 of Event 201 is all about turning social media against the people and identifying people with, quote, alternative treatments, end quote, to the virus?
The quicker that's recognized and can be countered, the fewer people will fall susceptible to those things.
It's interesting because we are doing clinical trials in new antiretrovirals and, in fact, in vaccines. And social media, including Facebook, is actually enhancing recruitment. People are going to it, and they're actually seeking information on where they can participate and sign up.
The PFOX, there's misinformation, and there are some belief. People believe, you know, this is a man-made, some pharmaceutical company made the virus. So there are some violations and even, you know, death is because of this misinformation.
Great. So that concludes the exercise portion of the event. How did this pandemic turn out? Please watch this epilogue.
All right. So there you have, from Session 4 of Event 201, they came to the conclusion that social media needs to be turned against the people. And that happened. They came to the conclusion that alternative therapies could only be bad alternative therapies. And Event 201 came to the conclusion that if a therapy was to arise that did not come from a pharmaceutical company, then that therapy would need to be disregarded and blackballed and outlawed. And when you get into the early days of 2020 and this pandemic that they planned for started, everything that's taken place has been along the lines, plus or minus 5%, of what they said would need to happen from Event 201 in the case of a global pandemic. So this is why we see social media beginning to heavily censor people. This is why we see Twitter deciding what is true and what is false. The Facebook fact checkers deciding what is true and what is false. Now, we told you months ago that the third party group that was hired by Facebook to do the fact checking, which is absolutely ridiculous if you think about it, the idea that Facebook can fact check anything. But Facebook put George Soros' group, IFCN, in charge of the news feed. And we told you about that back on December 16th of 2016. So this is not a new thing. This is not something that was purely for the COVID pandemic. This is something that was put in place quite a while ago, because social media does not want the truth. They want their version of the truth to get out there. So I just thought that here at day 651 that it would be edifying for us to remember exactly what Event 201 was all about, the people that sponsored it and funded it, World Economic Forum, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins Center, Open Philanthropy Project, Great Reset, Build Back Better, Fourth Industrial Revolution, deciding to turn social media against the people, outlaw alternative therapies. These are all things that came out of Event 201. Because the whole plan has nothing to remember. The vaccine was not made for the virus was made for the vaccine. And you are not going to drain the swamp. If you hear any candidate talking about draining the swamp, just walk away. No one, and I'll go on record, I have no problem saying this, no one is going to drain the swamp. Nobody. The swamp drains you, but you don't drain the swamp. The Bible says that in the time of the end, that the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints. And we're not going to be here for that passage in Daniel 7:25. We're going to be already raptured by that point. But Daniel 7:25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Doesn't it feel like we're just being worn out? Doesn't it feel like you just, all right, I'll take the vaccine. All right, I'll take the immunity passport. All right, put that chip into the back of my right hand. I don't care anymore. Doesn't it feel like that? Doesn't it really, really, really feel like that? Daniel G. is asking, if we're not going to be here, then how is he going to wear us out? Well, Daniel 7:25 is talking about tribulation saints, not talking about church age saints. Church age saints are removed in the rapture. That begins before the time of the start of Jacob's trouble. So, and no, I'm not taking the vaccine. And no, I'm not taking the immunity passport. And no, you're not injecting anything into the back of my right hand. Come on now. But I was exaggerating to make a point. It feels like everything is really wearing on us. And that's why at our Sunday service yesterday, I really, really, and so many people contacted me to say what a blessing that that sermon was, and thank you very much, and I'm glad that it was a blessing. But in 2022, we got to refresh ourselves in God's Word. We got to strengthen ourselves in God's Word, and we got to get ready for the battle. This thing is not over. This thing isn't even close to over. And we told you 21 months ago that this thing was not going to stop. We told you that it would go through phases and stages. Go back and listen to our early podcasts. I've been telling you this the entire time. That this is a long haul battle. And here we are at day 651. And that's figured from March 16th, which was the day that Donald Trump announced 15 days to flatten the curve. That was March 16th of 2020. So when I say that today is day 651 of 15 days to flatten the curve, that's going off a March 16th date. But all these things were already percolating for weeks and weeks and weeks before that. This is a long haul battle, and you need to set your focus on things above, not on things beneath. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize, because we are going to see deception from every corner. Now, Kerry said that Donald Trump needs to repent in dust and ashes. And that is a perfect segue for this clip. I heard this clip just a couple of hours ago, and it was quite shocking. Donald Trump turning against Netanyahu and turning against the nation of Israel. Is that possible? Well, take a listen and you decide for yourself.
I was disappointed in BB, just on a personal basis, when we have an election that it was a rigged election, like a third world country election. Sure. I think it's a terrible personal trait. I haven't spoken to him since, right? I didn't talk to him. Yeah. I thought he wanted to make a deal more than Netanyahu. And I will be honest, I had a great meeting with him, Abbas, right? I had a great meeting with him, and we spent a lot of time together, talked about many things, and it was almost like a father. I mean, you know, he was so nice. Couldn't have been nicer.
And I just want to stop that clip right there, in case you didn't catch it. the person that Donald Trump said was so nice and he thinks of him like a father figure is the president of the Palestinian Authority terrorist group, Mahmoud Abbas. That's what Donald Trump just said about the leader of Palestine, that he considers him a father figure.
And after meeting with Bibi for 3 minutes, I looked at him and said, you don't want to make a deal, do you? And he said, and the fact is, I don't think Bibi ever wanted to make a deal.
Why?
I thought the Palestinians were impossible, that the Israelis would do anything to make peace and a deal. I found that not to be true.
A lot to unpack there.
So before I let you listen to what the commentators have to say about that, that was Donald Trump turning against Benjamin Netanyahu, turning against the nation of Israel by saying that the leader of Palestine is like a father figure to him. I want you to think about that. Remember, we are here to tell you the truth. We don't have, outside of Jesus Christ and the Bible, we don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care about the Republican Party. I don't care about the Democratic Party. I am not trying to make America great again. My focus is preparing us for the judgment seat of Christ and for getting us ready for flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. That's what my focus is. So I don't care about politics other than to say that I use politics to show you how Bible prophecy is advancing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verses 14 through 16, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's where my focus is. I couldn't care less about Republicans, Democrats, Congress, the Senate, the White House, the Oval Office. I have abandoned all of that. So let's listen to what the commentators on this program, and these are mostly Jewish commentators, take a listen to what the commentators have to say about what you just heard come out of the mouth of Donald Trump.
I talk now to former Israeli ambassador to France, Daniel Sheck. So a lot going on there. Let's start, first of all, with Trump's relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. That part of the recording where he says F him, that already came out 2 days ago and caused a lot of shock. But now we're seeing further revelations that show that it wasn't just maybe Netanyahu congratulating Joe Biden, but before that, Trump seemed to be frustrated with Netanyahu for not seeming to want to move forward with his peace plan with the Palestinians, even though it should be mentioned that Netanyahu, at least publicly, did endorse the Trump peace plan that he put forward with Jared Kushner.
I have news for you. Everything is personal. If he was disappointed before these revelations, he was very good at hiding it. He never showed any frustration with Benjamin Netanyahu until he deemed Netanyahu to have crossed the lines and become from the closest friends to the worst enemy. And that is something you have to take into account when your friend, your close friend, is a capricious, egocentrical narcissist, then yes, the moment you do something to disappoint him, you cross over to the camp of his enemies. There's nothing in between. So, yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu was quite clearly among world leaders probably the most loyal and the closest to Donald Trump. Suddenly, because of the fact, the half-truth, the non-truth, by the way, that Donald Trump said that he was among the first to congratulate
him. He was criticized in Israel for not congratulating Biden fast enough in order to bring about the good relationship with the new administration.
But who cares about the truth? That was the way Donald Trump experienced it and thought that he felt, and that is the only thing that counts.
Right, it's certainly a fascinating stuff. But let's go to the second part of that recording, which may be even more surprising than the first part, calling Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, almost a father figure after the Palestinian Authority cut off its ties almost completely from pretty much the start of the Trump administration. Once Donald Trump and his team recognized Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, they wanted nothing to do with Trump, and here he is praising him as being this incredible guy.
I don't know about the personal feelings that Donald Trump had towards Mahmoud Abbas. Maybe he felt that he's a father figure. That's a legitimate thing to say. I have certain issues with his assessment of the willingness of the two parties to go ahead for a peace agreement. I think about Netanyahu, he got it about right. I personally experienced the same feeling with Nicolas Sarkozy.
All right, so we'll stop that clip there. But I just wanted you to hear that. I wanted you to hear Donald Trump praising the leader of the Palestinian terrorist organization, Mahmoud Abbas, and calling him a father figure. Now, I understand that Trump is a man that's given to hyperbole. I understand that. But to call Mahmoud Abbas a father figure, I mean, that's almost as demented as Joe Biden saying, "Let's go, Brandon, I agree." There's some sort of a mental disconnect. If you are a former president of the United States of America that claims to love Israel, and you're calling Mahmoud Abbas a father figure, that's, I honestly don't even know what to say about that. That is absolutely incredible. Now, a lot of people ask me my opinion on Donald Trump in 2024. I do not see on any level that Donald Trump will ever be back in politics at all, ever again. From my perspective, and it's just my opinion, I believe that Trump accomplished what God put him in office to do, which was to start the Abraham Accords, to put the bait on the hook for the nation of Israel, to get things prepared for the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. I believe that that's why Trump was put into office, and that has been accomplished. The Abraham Accords are doing fantastic. The Abraham Accords are, in 2022, you're going to have the Abrahamic Family Center, and that's going to be launching. And it is quite possible that at some point in 2022, you're going to see Israel getting the green light to start rebuilding the Third Temple. Again, that's just my opinion, but it's a very, very distinct possibility of things that could take place in 2022. 2022 is going to be a more intense year than 2020 and 2021. It's going to be phase three of all the things that Event 201 put together. Now, before I play this next clip, I just want to remind you that we are getting towards the end of the year. And if the Lord has put on your heart to donate to our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, or just to support the ministry in any way at all, now would be a great time. Last week, I had to write about $10,000 worth of checks for the billboard program, for the free Bible and gospel tract program, and for a number of other things connected to the running of this ministry. But it was mostly for the billboards. The billboards by itself was $5,000. And that's what it cost to have those great billboards that you see up in St. Augustine. This month alone, it cost $5,000 just for the billboards. And it cost about another $2,000, $3,000 more for the free Bibles and for the gospel tract program, and about $2,500 of incidental expenses related to running the ministry of Now the End Begins. So, if the Lord lays it on your heart, please make a nice end-of-year donation to Now the End Begins, help us to continue this. On Friday, I'm going to give you the exact number of free Bibles and gospel tracts that we've handed out this year, and I'm going to show you just how close that we came to 15,000 King James Bibles. And I will have those numbers for you, Lord willing, this Friday. But please, pray for this ministry. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, donate to this ministry. I've always told you guys, the more you give, the more we do. But just this month alone costs $10,000. So please pray about supporting this ministry. Very, very much appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, take a listen to this clip. Take a listen to this clip. You're going to like this.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
Our key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmission. So we need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected.
These people are schizophrenic.
As the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. The booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
Clearly one of the best investments that Bill Gates has ever been involved in. All right, we got about 11 minutes left. Let's go over some headlines. How about that? You want to hear what's happening in the news in relationship to COVID? In New Jersey, my home state of New Jersey, Governor Murphy agrees to pay $53 million to 119 families of veterans who were killed by the deadly policy that New Jersey had to allow COVID-infected individuals to be brought into the veterans' home. So, the Murphy administration in the state of New Jersey, they are now forced to pay $53 million for their deadly COVID policy. I wonder how much in New York State that they're going to have to pay for 15,000 dead people because Cuomo sent them back to the nursing homes infected with COVID. Well, how about this one? The New Zealand government has announced that patients admitted to the hospital for COVID-19 can be killed via euthanasia. In November, an anti-euthanasia group, hashtag DefendNZ, asked the New Zealand Ministry of Health questions about the practice of the nation's End of Life Choice Act. One of these questions was, could a patient who is severely hospitalized with COVID-19 potentially be eligible for assisted suicide or euthanasia under the act if a health practitioner viewed their prognosis as less than 6 months? The End of Life Act states that a person who has a terminal illness that is likely to end the person's life within 6 months may be killed by euthanasia. Eligibility for both euthanasia and assisted suicide is determined by the attending medical practitioner and an independent medical practitioner. Doctors receive $1,000 plus expenses from the government for each person that they kill. That's in New Zealand. How about that? Anthony Fauci says vaccine requirement for domestic air travel is not only welcome, but it is necessary. Anthony Fauci is going to make you get a vaccine if you want to get on an airplane in the Jacksonville airport, and if I wanted to fly to my home state of New Jersey. If Anthony Fauci has his way, I will be required to get a vaccine to simply take a ride on an airplane. One more. Pfizer's booster ability to prevent symptomatic COVID wanes within weeks. This Pfizer booster and this Pfizer vaccine that everybody rants and raves about, data shows that the third shot is 70% effective in preventing illness after 2 weeks, but only 45% after 10 weeks. Moderna seems to offer more durable protection, staying at 70% after 10 weeks. Now, one of the reasons why I played that clip for you of all those liberals contradicting themselves month after month after month, I can't imagine what it would take at this point for me to believe anything that these people have to say. I really can't imagine it. And one of the reasons why it's important every, you know, so often to do a review of how you got to this point and to remind yourself the incredible amount of lies and deception and all that junk. And you think that they're telling you the truth today, but just a month ago or 3 months ago, they told you the exact opposite thing. So today we've been reviewing all these things that have been taking place. And we've been reviewing everything that's been going on. And comparing their statements from back then with things that they say now. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Wear an N95 mask. Get a vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask. Get the vaccine, you still have to wear the mask. Oh, that's what I wanted to show you. One more thing for people who are in the chat room. I want you to take a look at this. And I found this picture on Twitter over the weekend. And it shows you what's taking place in the fascist state of California. Take a look in the chat room of what I just put in there. If you live in Los Angeles, you have already seen the very large window signs, please have your proof of COVID-19 vaccine and a photo ID to enter. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health requires that all patrons and on-site employees eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine provide full proof of vaccination for entry into indoor areas. The sign goes on to say, a negative COVID-19 test result does not qualify as an alternative to providing proof of COVID-19 vaccination. So that's where we are, people. Now, I want you to realize that we have been telling you this for the past 651 days. We have been warning about this. We have been broadcasting this. We have been telling people for the past 651 days. Actually, it's a little longer than that, but you get the idea. We've been telling you for the past 651 days that these things are taking place. We were called conspiracy theory. We were suspended on Twitter, banned on Facebook, multiple strikes on YouTube, and yet everything that we told you was coming has arrived. Everything that we said to watch out for has turned out to be true. And I want you to realize, and this is not to pat myself on the back or anything like that, but I want you to realize that as we follow the Lord and we seek His guidance and we open up His preserved word and we say, Holy Spirit, show us the truth, I want you to realize that we have not been wrong about anything that we've said over the last 651 days. I want you to think about that. Everything that we told you was coming is either here or in the process of materializing. We told you. We warned you that they were going to make you take a vaccine. Not just that they were going to have a vaccine, but we told you that they were going to make you wear a mask. We told you that they were going to make you take a vaccine, and we told you that they were going to make you take an immunity passport. We said that back on July 4th of 2020, long before the first vaccine was authorized. We told you from the very beginning, and again, I am not patting myself on the back. I am simply saying that God is leading us and guiding us. And so far, we have not stumbled at any point on this journey. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for showing us the way forward and showing us the truth. But I want you to think about this. We have not told you one thing in 651 days, and we've told you a lot. But we haven't told you one thing that has not, that we said was going to come to pass, that has not come to pass. I want you to think about that. And believe me when I tell you that 2022 is going to be the most intense year yet. 2022 is going to include things that, just like Habakkuk says, you'll see it, you'll hear it, and you won't believe it. That's what's coming in 2022. Thank you so much for tuning in to this broadcast today. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. I invite you to go into the archives and listen to yesterday's Sunday service. Let that message be a blessing to you on rebuilding the altar of the Lord and putting yourself on there as a sacrifice. If you haven't listened to that message, please go and listen to it and let it be a blessing to you. Thank you for tuning in today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody. Jesus.